For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. As I explore these businesses, and we're getting further into the list, we're firmly into the bees at this point. We ended off with Big Fred's Barbecue Shack last time. And as I get further into this, I'm starting to notice some very interesting patterns. For example, last week we ended with Big Fred's, but how many businesses do you think are in Fallout that start with the word big? I never would have guessed 10. 10 different businesses start with the word big. And I know that's probably not the most exciting fact in the world, but it just goes to show how many different kinds of businesses there are. And all of these businesses are very different. Big Fred's Barbecue Shack obviously is a restaurant. The first one on our list this week is Big Al's Tattoo Parlor. So that is a tattoo shop. Then we have all sorts of different things. Research and development, because the Big MT is going to come up in this episode. Manufacturing, ammunition, another restaurant, candy, gambling, retail stores. The diversity is immense. And I think that's one of the reasons why we find the Fallout world to be so satisfying. To be a place that feels kind of like a real lived-in place. These little details add up. And sure, not all of these businesses are a big deal. Not all of them are the kinds of places that have backstories and characters associated with them, or even played a major role in the world in any way. But that's part of the beauty of it. The fact that many of these are just tiny little locations, many of which you can't even go into, but some of them you can. And when you go in, you find some of the most interesting details. And there's something about that diversity, because in a wasteland, in a wrecked world, you wouldn't be able to go into every building. You wouldn't find the remnants of what was there. But in some places you do. And in some places, it's still operating. Like the Big MT. All right, so let's get into it. We're going to start off this week with Big Al's Tattoo Parlor. Now, you might assume Big Al is a big dude, a big man, because it seems like a common moniker for somebody named Albert or something like that to go by Al. And for him to be big, right? Like, I feel like Big Al is probably a character that shows up in movies or TV shows or whatever, probably starting in like the 50s or 60s or something like that, right? Maybe even the 40s. But this Big Al is Alice. Al for Alice. Alice Loveless. And we know a little bit about Alice. In fact, Big Al's Tattoo Parlor is in Appalachia. It's in Morgantown, and it is part of a quest line that you do in Fallout 76. And this is another one of those locations that goes to show how much detail the writers put into these locations and characters and backstory for Fallout 76. And it's still one of those things that I have conversations with people regularly about. People will say things like, hey, I'm getting into the Fallout games. What should I play? Where should I start? Or, hey, I finished Fallout New Vegas or Fallout 4. Where should I go next? And when people recommend Fallout 76, there's always this question of, well, I thought that was an MMO. Can you play that by yourself? Absolutely, you can play that by yourself. Most of the time when I play Fallout 76, I play it by myself. And then I group up with people when I want to. But the world is so interesting and the backstory is very well fleshed out. And I don't think that that game or the writers get enough credit for that. Because we know some things about Alice Lovelace. She was an award-winning tattoo artist. She ran a shop, Big Al's Tattoo Parlor, that was about to get closed down. Although she was award-winning and she was great at what she did, she couldn't keep it going. And these were tough times. This is right before the bombs dropped, you know, pre-war, all of that. But something happened that changed Alice's future in a very significant way. Vault-Tec University is nearby, and the Eta Psi Epsilon Tau Greek Society president, Judy Lowell, made her an offer because this tattoo parlor was just far enough away from campus, but just close enough to be the location of their Nuka-Shine speakeasy. And she made such a good offer that Alice was able to retire. She left for Tahiti. She never had to work another day in her life because this property was purchased, but also was still running like a speakeasy. What that means is the store on top, the tattoo parlor, was still there. It was still being operated and managed and run, but not by Alice. But that was the front. That was the cover for the speakeasy down in the basement. And when you do the Nuka-Shine quest, you learn this fairly quickly because you go to this location and you think, okay, this is a tattoo parlor. What else is going on here? But when you go around back, down into the basement, and you find your way into the speakeasy, you meet the robot that is still there. Biv E. Ridge, one of the prototype robo-brains who was adjusting the formula for Nuka-Shine. And 20-some years later, after the bombs drop, Biv is still there. And if you haven't tried Fallout 76 yet and taken a swig of Nuka-Shine, then maybe you should go do it. Just give it a shot. See how it tastes. See what happens after you drink it. I think we all know at this point, right? Next up, we have a product that shows up in Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, and also the Fallout TV show. And this is a lot of fun because it's really cool to see on the TV show when they take these products and make them real, like real people, real items that get picked up or show up in the background. It's always fun to have that. Now, this one is not one that I would recommend trying because we all know smoking leads to cancer. And it's bad. You probably shouldn't be smoking. In fact, you definitely shouldn't be smoking. I hope I'm not offending anybody, but I think smokers even realize the truth about this at this point in history. But anyway, Big Boss is a cigarette company, and it's got that stylistic logo with it's a big red logo with kind of this golden colored text. It looks a little bit like Marlboro kind of inspired, but the text has that kind of script from like the 1930s, that Art Deco kind of vibe. And you can find these around. Of course, you can collect cigarettes and cartons of cigarettes and break them down. In fact, they're very useful to break down in Fallout 3 in New Vegas. But they show up across large swaths of the country because Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas are on separate sides of the country. So whether you're in New Vegas or the DC area, these show up. So they were most likely a very successful brand, and you can find them pretty much everywhere. But most of the time when you find them, the packages that they come in are pretty busted up looking. Most of the time when you find these on the shelves, it's very hard to read the logo. You know what they are by the shape of it, and of course the text that shows up when you mouse over or, you know, use the controller to point at them. But there aren't very many pristine versions, but you can find them around in the world. And I don't know how well the ingredients of cigarettes work. I don't know what their half-lives are, those sorts of things. But I would have to imagine by the time of Fallout 3 in New Vegas, about 200 years after the bombs dropped, I mean, cigarettes are pretty terrible to begin with, but I can't imagine they get better with time. Here's another product you find all over Fallout New Vegas. Big Chief .357 Magnum Bullets. This is ammunition, of course, and Big Chief seems like a very specific brand of, well, very large bullets, therefore Big Chief. Also, Big Chief being Native American influence, the Mojave Desert, this sort of thing. So it makes sense that you're finding these in New Vegas. And you might assume that Big Chief is just the Magnums, it's just the .357s. But it turns out that Big Chief is actually the brand name, and we know this because they also manufacture explosive submachine gun bullets. Now, outside of that, there isn't too much else to know, because you just kind of pick these up in the environment. There's no quest line that goes around them. There's no data files of any sort that give us any background into how the business actually works. But you'll recognize them from the yellow cases that they come in, with a kind of an orange-shaped line behind the Big Chief logo. And then there's also the head of a Native American with a big feathered headdress on the top of the box. You can only pick these up in Fallout New Vegas, but advertisements show up in Fallout 76, even though you can't find them in Fallout 76, which makes me wonder, did they all get collected up and used already, or were they about to roll out into Appalachia from a business that was running further to the west? I'm not sure we'll ever find out, but we do know one other thing. An advertisement in Fallout 76 says Big Chief brand explosive rounds, and it shows the Tommy gun, right? And a father and a son practicing with a Tommy gun, which is kind of funny. But then the text says, who cares about accuracy when everything you shoot explodes? This next one is going to be pretty quick, but it's kind of funny because in doing the research, I realized that there is a real world, at least one real world location for this. Big Daddy's Billiards. Now, you might notice in Fallout 3, and especially New Vegas, you find pool tables all over the place. And on one or both sides, actually, the both ends of the pool table, there's a little plaque that says Big Daddy Billiards. Clearly, this is the manufacturer of the pool tables, because the pool tables are located inside casinos and these other places that have different names. So they're not in a store that's called Big Daddy Billiards or a bar that's called Big Daddy Billiards. But what's interesting about this is doing research turns out that there is a location called Big Daddy Billiards where you can go and play pool in Sarasota, Florida. And myself being a Florida man, maybe one day I'll have to make the trek over there and ask them, hey, did you name the store after the brand in Fallout? Chances are they will look at me like I'm a crazy person, but you never know. Next up on our list is a location, a research facility that is something that most of you will have familiarity with if you played Fallout New Vegas. It is a location that is known not just for predicting that bottle caps would become the currency in a post-wasteland economy, but that they also design things like the trauma harness, bioengineering projects, total pacification collars, lobotomites. This was a location that didn't ask, should we? But can we, when it came to scientific research and predicting how things would work out in the future? That's right, I'm talking about Big MT, Big letter M, letter T, which sounds like empty on purpose. And MT can also mean mountain, like Big Mountain. Now, this is a location that has a lot of details, and I probably should devote an entire episode to it because I haven't done so yet. Amazing, in over 300 episodes that I haven't actually covered Big MT specifically. It comes up in the background of a lot of stories and during patron chats and those kinds of things. But in the future, this is going to be on my list of things to cover. But in short, this was a location that was driving forward scientific research and knowledge, but in order to do so, they were breaking a lot of ethical, well, I guess we could call them guidelines, because some of them weren't hard and fast rules, but some of them definitely were. And after the bombs drop, this location continues its research. Many of the individuals who worked previously find ways to extract their brains and put them into these robotic, well, think tanks. And like I said, we'll get into a much deeper discussion about this in the future. But just to kind of wrap this up and help you understand exactly how much the Big MT was influencing science and research and all of that, let's just go through the different types of fields and industries that they dabbled in. We have the arms industry, where they were working on not just weapons, but even reverse engineering stealth suits from the Chinese, biochemistry, bioengineering, cryoscience, cybernetics, holography, medical, metallurgy, meteorology, robotics, software, and virtual reality. In the Fallout TV show, the Big MT has a representative at the meeting with Vault-Tec and all of these other, well, CEOs and, big important people from these major companies. And this implies that some of the research and technology that the Big MT was working on was probably incorporated into Vault-Tec technology, or specifically built for Vault-Tec in some cases. So when you think about virtual reality, and then you think about what Dr. Stanislaus Braun was able to do in Vault 112, there might be a direct line between the two. And this could include many other vaults and the wide variety of different kinds of things they were able to test in all of these different vaults. In fact, when you think about Vault-Tec and Big MT, this idea of doing it because you can, not wondering if you should, seems to apply to both.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
In the town of Beckley, in the ash heap in Appalachia, there's a little sandwich shop called Big Papa Moe's Lip Smackin' Sandwich Shop. And if you have noticed the sign out front of this place, you will not forget it, because it features a sandwich, an anthropomorphized sandwich with basically a face and two arms and a gigantic mustache and a bow tie. And on the sign, it says Big Papa Moe's Lip Smacking. And then there's a smaller sign that is like nailed into the side of it, sandwich shop, which I guess means that they didn't leave enough room in the design in order to include sandwich shop, so they had to stick another sign on top, which is kind of funny. But this is one of those locations where we get holotapes that give us a little bit of background as to what was going on with the people who ran this business. You see, they were in competition with a shop across the street called Sal's Grinders. And they were offering exactly the same sandwiches at both restaurants. Now, this was a rival thing. Now, check this out. If you go into Sal's Grinders, you get access to a computer that gives you Sal's perspective of the competition. And of course, we're going to have to talk about Sal's restaurant in a future episode, but we'll probably skip over this part. But anyway, opening day, this is the first entry. Opening day is here. Can't believe it. The paint is barely dry, but we are ready to sell some subs to the boys running the automatons in the mines. Look at me now, Dad. You never thought I'd amount to a hill of beans after quitting the mine, but here I am. This is one Jefferson that won't be dying from crawling into a deep, dark hole. You never did believe in my passions, but at least you taught me to make a mean sandwich. Now we've just got to get the word out. So this is coming from somebody who was a mine worker and was clearly dealing with a lot of the issues that I've talked about multiple times about how the miners were being basically abused. They were being taken advantage of and eventually being let go, and their jobs went away as automation prevailed in the mining industry. So this guy, Sal, has opened a sandwich shop, and he's real proud. He's gonna make his dad rue the day he said that he would never amount to anything. All right, the next entry says, first month. What a month. That cash register got quite the workout downstairs. Grace was a lifesaver, taking the orders and running the front. It's been a madhouse for the both of us, but I couldn't be happier. Dad's old secret family recipe is the real hero. We've been running through cranberries almost faster than we can get them trucked in from the bog. But those suckers have that tang that keeps them coming back. Of course, the Samlish monopoly on this town doesn't hurt either. Well, there you go. That's some foreshadowing, because they're about to get some competition from Big Papa Moe's Lip Smackin' Sandwich Shack. What a joke. This is the next entry. Almost didn't believe it when I saw his blasted sign going up a stone's throw away. Big Papa Moe's Lip Smackin' Sandwich Shack? First off, who the heck is Moe? Charlie never had a Moe in his life that I know of, because Charlie was the name of the guy running Big Papa Moe's. At least he didn't when I was sharing a classroom with him. That slimeball never made an honest buck in his life, and he has nerve to not only open a shop, but do it right across the blasted street? Not only that, but he's advertising a cranberry sandwich. There's no way he can beat my recipe. He's going to be laughed out of town. That's right. The cranberry sandwiches that Sal started were being imitated at Big Papa Moe's, and also, it's run by a guy named Charlie. Who the heck is Moe? Next entry. What is happening? 2 years into business and I'm hitting my second month in the red? I don't even want to look at my records anymore, much less update them. I've sunk everything into this place, and yet it's still not enough. What is Charlie doing? What's he putting in those subs? I've had one, and you thought you'd never hear me say it out loud. It's better than mine. But why? What's the ingredient in that sauce? Whatever it is, Beckley is hooked and can't get enough. I've got to figure out where he is getting his supplies, or I am done for. Can't believe I'm falling to chucklehead Charlie. So things clearly are going downhill, and there's some sort of secret ingredient that Big Papa Moe's is using. Well, we get this next entry. One more try. Grace left. Can't blame her. Not like I can pay her anyway. Haven't been able to for weeks, and an IOU won't cover the rent. Sure would have liked to see her end up somewhere else than across the street. Almost fell over seeing her wearing that idiot's Papa Moe's logo on her shirt yesterday. That's it. I'm following that truck tonight. I know it's bringing his cranberries, but can't figure out from where. I've taken apart every ingredient in his sandwich and all that is whatever strain of cranberry he is using. And then we get the final entry. Nuclear. I can't believe it. Charlie is really doing it. He is using radiated cranberries for his sandwiches. I knew he was slimy, but I had no idea he could stoop this low. Couldn't believe it when I saw that truck at the abandoned quarry in the bog. Radiation warning signs everywhere. And it went right through, pulling out a few hours later with a full load to take to Charlie's kitchen. It was bad enough that he was driving me out of business, but to feed Beckley poisoned food is the last straw. Can't wait to see the look on his face tomorrow morning when I let him have it. Now, is that the way the story ends? Well, it appears that that's as much as we get of the story. We don't really know if he let Charlie have it or what exactly happened after that. We also don't really know the dates of those entries because there's no date on the entry. So this could have been right before the bombs dropped, and this was the last event that happened, and then the sandwich rivalry was not really a problem after that. But think about it. You have to wonder if serving radiated cranberries to customers actually made it taste better. I mean, that's the one difference in their ingredients, but I wouldn't assume that irradiated food would taste better. Now, maybe different, but when things are irradiated around you, one of the things that happens is you just don't notice. Like, you can't tell that the radiation is having a negative effect until all of a sudden you start feeling sick and you break out with symptoms. But you have to wonder, does it make the food taste different? Would that actually happen? Hopefully, nobody ever tests that out. That sounds terrible. All right, here's a quick one. Big Pops. Big Pops is bubblegum. You might remember the green-colored little packs of bubblegum, you know, the big long strips. These show up in Fallout 4 and in 76. And there's not much to say about them. We don't get really a backstory or any terminal entries and that sort of thing. But you'll recognize them from the yellow logo that says bubblegum, and then above it, Big Pops in this kind of pink explosion on top of this kind of minty green color with some stripes and bands around it. And these are useful. It's useful for not being hungry. You can chew some bubblegum and put off eating real food, including radiated cranberries.
Communist detected on American soil. Lethal force engaged.
All right, two more big companies. This one is Big Ranch Nevada State Lotto. This, of course, shows up in New Vegas. And you might have noticed the signs around or the actual lottery tickets that you can find. And it says, well, part of the sign is broken, something about a jackpot, 11 million, Big Ranch Nevada State Lottery. And in the background, you have a fence, the kind of fence that you would have, say, on a cattle ranch or something like that. But behind the fence are a bunch of women in dresses, all kind of standing around posing, looking fancy. And in the foreground on the front left is a cowgirl riding one of those sticks with the pony head, you know, like the kids would run around, you know, pretending they were riding a horse. And she has very short Daisy Duke style, I guess you could say jean shorts, maybe. They're blue, so I'm assuming they're jean shorts. But then on her top, she's very scantily clad. There you go. That's how that works. With what seems like the equivalent of a fabric star-shaped red pasty on the front of her boob. And she's the character. This is like part of the logo. You can see two of her in like silhouette on the actual lottery tickets, but you can see her nice and bold and big on the big signs. And I'm not the type of person who goes to video games to feel a certain, feeling, but when it comes to having this kind of real world type of stuff that just makes the world feel a little bit more adult, I think that some of these older games actually benefited from that. Now, we don't know much else about the company. They, of course, ran a lottery, and you can see the sign out in front of El Dorado's Gas and Services. And of course, the lottery tickets are in Nipton, where there was a very different lottery going on. And interestingly, Nevada has never actually had a state lottery. I'm assuming that maybe this one would have been run by the state or a competitive company. It's hard to know. But this is interesting. Back in 1864, they passed a law in the state that prohibited state-run lotteries. And this is still in effect because eventually this became a location for casinos and they didn't want it to compete. So it never got, I guess, redacted and it never got changed. So maybe this was still in effect, but that would mean that this would be a private run lottery, which I guess is legal because gambling is legal. I don't know. The details would be interesting to find out.
Check out Big Steve's Sporting Goods, where every purchase is a home run.
That's right. Big Steve's Sporting Goods, where every purchase is a home run. This is another smaller business that you can find, or at least smaller in information, in Fallout 76. And this was another pre-war company. They sold a variety of different sports things, everything from baseball to golf to basketball, bicycles, other things. And there's a number of different locations that you can actually find this across Appalachia. You'll notice on the sign, it says Big Steve's in red and then Sporting Goods below that. And there seems to be a picture of Big Steve. It looks like a guy's face, a man's face, with his hand on his head. And I'm not sure why his hand is on his head, but that's the logo. And the face is right above the word big. That must be Big Steve, I would assume. And there's two locations in Appalachia. They have one location at Valley Galleria. Words are hard, which is part of the Mire. And then there's also a second location north of Clarksburg in the dried lakebed area of the Toxic Valley.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest still eager to serve.
And with Big Steve's, we're going to wrap up all of our names that start with Big for businesses in Fallout. I hope you're enjoying these episodes. I'll be back with another episode continuing our exploration of all these different businesses in the future. And who knows, I might intersperse some other episodes if I've got some fun ideas like I have over the last few months in between these episodes. So stay tuned for that. Also, have to shout out our newest patron members, patreon.com/falloutlorecast, for ad-free episodes and t-shirts and stickers and all sorts of fun stuff. Kevin L. and Mornhammer, thank you for signing up. Welcome to the community. And also have to shout out our Sentry bots, Dusty Ray and Germinator. Thank you for your support. You get shout outs every week at that tier. And to all 107 of our current paying Fallout patrons, I really do appreciate the support. Thanks for being here. And we have a number of other people who are free patrons. A lot of people have joined us on the Robots Radio Discord. There's lots of ways to plug into the community and be a part of everything. So thank you again for everybody's support. And also, if you want to help out in other ways, you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts, a 5-star review. I'll read out in the future. And you can also rate the show on Spotify and some other places. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. I'm excited. We're in March and we've got ghouls coming to Fallout 76. So I'm going to have to dive back in and check that out very soon. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your week. And until then, stay safe out there. And remember, don't eat those cranberry sandwiches because they might be irradiated. I'll see you next time. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.